Welcome to the Apex Church podcast. Thanks for listening and we hope you enjoy today's message. Be sure to check out our website at www.apexchurch.org.uk and let us know you've been listening. Now prepare your heart to hear a word from God today.
So, I actually come from the other northeast, the one in England. I know this is the proper northeast, the actual northeast. So, yeah, I come from a little town that has a rubbish football team called Middlesbrough. We'll just get that right out of the way before we go any further. But, yeah, me and Sammy, we go to the games, don't we, for our sins, and we love following the borough. Yeah, but there we go. So, yeah, we travelled up Friday, didn't we? And then we're travelling back later today as well. So, yeah. I have my wife, Beth. She is Scottish. She is from a little village called Hart Hill. Yeah, some of you might know Hart Hill. It's got its own weather system. There's one service station on the M8 motorway that runs between Glasgow and Edinburgh. And behind that service station is a village called Hart Hill. It's the only place in Scotland that you can get Radio Luxembourg. It's a bit up on a hill and it gets rain, and as soon as you go out the village, it's sunshine. But yeah, so she's from there. So I've got four children, Sammy being our second oldest. The two oldest were born in Scotland, so that's why he's proudly wearing his Scotland shirt. Yeah, so everyone in his footy team back down in England, everyone at school calls him the Scottish one, don't they? But yeah, we're super proud of that. And I will be totally honest with you now, whenever Scotland are playing England at anything, I do support Scotland. So, yeah. I mean, I lived just outside Glasgow for 8 years, so I think that qualifies me. It's only my accent that makes me English, I think. So, yeah. So, yeah, wife Beth and the four children. And I think as a dad, it's so important, it's part of our duty that we constantly tell dad jokes, right? Yeah? Come on, dads. Yeah? We're down with that? So, I've got a couple that I want to share with you. This is where Matthew puts his head in his hands because he's been listening to them all weekend. So I wanted to give you a couple one. I wanted to give you a Scottish one, as we're in Scotland, and I wanted to give you a nice church one, all right, that you can use. Okay, so we'll go with the Scottish joke. Are we ready? Why is Mickey Mouse's helicopter no good in Scotland? Disneyland. I'll go see. Don't clap, it's rubbish. And that was one of my favourite jokes of all time. And see, tell it to folk in England, they're like, what? And nice church one, why is Jesus not allowed to wear jewellery? Because he breaks every chain. Write that down. You can use that in September, they'll have forgotten it by then. Fantastic. So, yeah. Gotta love a dad joke. So yeah, I just wanted to take a bit of time this morning just to share a bit of my faith journey with football and how that's all kind of worked out and how I got into doing what I do. And some of the adventures that I've been on. I wanted to unpack a couple of things out of that as well, if that's okay. I'll try and keep it brief, and I apologise if I start talking too fast and you can't understand my slightly Geordie accent. So, yeah, all I ever wanted to do as a kid was play football. I was brought up in church from about the age of four, so pretty much all I can remember is being in church. But I wasn't really interested. They were telling me things like God had created everything and Jesus had died for me because of the stuff that I'd done wrong and I actually deserved to die, but he took my place. And I thought, that's nice. So what? I'm not really bothered. I don't really care. It doesn't really affect me. I just want to go play football, hang out with my friends and do things that normal teenagers do, normal kids do. So that was kind of my attitude growing up, primary school, secondary school. And I wanted to become a professional footballer. That was my goal, that was my aim, that was all I was really focused on. And when I was 16, I got to go on a trial for another rubbish team in the northeast called Sunderland. So I went to Sunderland to have this trial. And very, very quickly, I was playing in one of their games very early on. And I got a really bad injury. I stretched too far, and I got something called a hernia, which for a 16, 17-year-old is not a great thing to get. Completely tore my groin, and I was out for about 8 months, and Sunderland very, very quickly showed me the door. We're not willing to wait for you to get better. So I had to have an operation, and then I was even walking with a crutch for a little bit. It was that serious an injury. So for a 17-year-old, that was pretty rubbish. I couldn't do the one thing that I loved to do, which was to play football. And during that time of me being injured, I really felt like a lot of my friends and family and people within the church were really kind of communicating God's heart to me and saying, what about getting back on track with God? What about living for Jesus again? Because it hasn't really worked out. You've tried to do things in your own strength, in your own way, and it just hasn't worked. And I was like, oh, no, I can't be doing that. I just don't, but it just happened more and more. The more I rejected it, the more it happened. The more I believe God spoke to me. And so I said, you know what? I've got nothing to lose. I don't really play for a team anymore. I'm coming back from this injury. So I recommitted my life to God. I said, okay, Jesus, I fully believe everything that I've been told in church. I always have. And now I need to act on it. So I did. I asked Jesus into my life. And straight away, I got offered a place to go on a year out with my church, down to another church in Wales. And so straight away I was in schools, doing coaching, doing football stuff. So as soon as I'd made that decision, God had given me a little bit of football back straight away. I was involved in football in schools and coaching with different teams and what have you. So that was like, okay, God, that's awesome that you've done that for me. I then did 2 years with a Christian charity called Youth for Christ, who some of you might be familiar with, doing similar kind of stuff, youth work and football. And it was then that I really started to do the keepy-uppies and the tricks. And I thought, oh, this is quite cool. And it became very, very popular. There was Nike and Adidas adverts coming out with guys doing tricks and players like Ronaldinho in the media. And I was like, okay, maybe. And I found there was another guy who was a Christian who was doing it as well. So I got in touch with him, teamed up with him, and I managed to make a bit of a job out of it. So that is not something that I would have ever thought of doing under my own steam. And I truly believe that is God in my life saying, you're not going that way, you're going this way with me. Not that way, this way. And when we make that decision, that becomes really clear to us, I think. And God opens up those doors for us because of that decision. So yeah, I managed to start doing some of my football tricks at different youth events with Youth for Christ. And then got an agent who started to get me work and all sorts of things like that. And it was really good because I didn't actually fancy working. So I started doing this instead. It was the thing that I loved doing, but I didn't have to run about doing it. I could stay in one place. So yeah, it was something that I really believe God blessed me with. And he clearly wanted me to use it to reach people. Over the last, must be 15, even more years now, that's what I've been doing. And it started off with a lot of corporate work, a lot of work for different brands and football clubs and things like that. And there was only a small part of it that I was using for ministry. And over the years, that has shifted. The ministry has become more, and the other stuff has become less. So that has been something that God has really kind of grown in me, the more my faith has grown. And I realize more every day that's why he's given it to me. It's to show how amazing he is. Not to go and make money and do stuff at football clubs. It's to show his glory. So yeah. So that's a little bit of my kind of faith journey. I've got to travel to all sorts of places doing the corporate stuff. I even met some of the 1966 England World Cup team on one of the jobs, which I know won't mean very much up here. But as an Englishman, that was pretty cool. Meeting those type of people. I also did some work on a Pringles advert, which some of you may remember, back around 2006, 2007. There was a bunch of footballers on a Pringles advert kicking a tin around, and I was actually on set with them, teaching them how to kick the Pringles tin. Skills. They were rubbish, to be honest. Stick to the football. So yeah, that's just God's grace and putting me into places that I wouldn't have gone myself. So that's totally God. So moving further forward, we come to that dreaded word, which I didn't really want to mention, but that COVID word. And everything shut down for everyone, didn't it? And I don't want to dredge all that stuff up again because we're out of that now. But just to make a point, because in that time, like for most of us, it was really tough doing what I do because I'm self-employed. I rely on events happening and things happening and nothing was happening. So, and the other thing that was happening was I was getting quite old. I've just turned 40 just before Christmas. And I know I don't look tall enough, I know. stop. So, yeah, I was, throughout COVID, I was in my late 30s, and I'm just thinking, you know what, I really shouldn't be jumping about with the football at this age. There's guys 14, 15-year-old who can do 10 times the tricks I can do, and they're all fit and young, and I really need, you know, do I really need to still be doing this? Because I'm getting on a bit. So that was kind of COVID. And we all went through that in our head, didn't we? The thoughts like that during COVID. What's going to change? What's going to happen? So COVID was a tough time for me. There wasn't a lot happening. So I thought, is this a natural end? Do I need to move on? Do I need to get a proper job? Do I need to be doing something different? God, what's going on? And then in very, very early 2022, I was given the opportunity, we were kind of out of COVID by then, I was given the opportunity to go and do some work with the Message Trust. Some of you might have heard of the Message Trust, based in Manchester, a Christian charity. Andy Hawthorne is their spearhead, a fantastic evangelist. And they said, we've got some work, do you want to come and do some work? So I do some work for the Message, which is not football related, and I can talk about that another time. But out of that came some absolutely insane opportunities, which I just could never, ever have dreamt of. Just before Christmas, I was out in Kenya performing at festivals and speaking at festivals. I've just come back from El Salvador in Latin America, where I was out doing a big festival and speaking in churches. And in a couple of weeks, I'm going out to Zambia to basically go between remote villages that have never been touched before to preach the gospel and to be an evangelist out there. And all of this stuff, it's totally God again. And God is just saying, what do you mean you're 40? What do you mean you're 40? I'm not interested. I have given you something to go and evangelize to people, to go and show people how amazing I am. And I was just like, boom, like, okay. Yeah, okay, God. So he has just presented me with a brand new, fresh set of opportunities. And that's nothing to do with me. That's just down to me saying, God, I'm available. If you want to use me, if you still want me to do this, then I'm here. And God has said, yeah, you're going to go and do this and do that. And it's stuff that I've never done before on this scale, because it's going to be 4 or 5 times a year, which is a lot. So, yeah, it's that is totally, totally God. And I just wonder, not necessarily throughout COVID, but even this week, in the last month, in the last year, have you had that thought of, I'm too old for that now. I'm not old enough for that yet. Or, actually, I'm not physically well enough to be doing that anymore. Do we have these little thoughts about age, about how we are mentally, how we are physically, that actually we're saying no to God based on how we feel? And actually, God's plan, that is not part of God's plan. I just want to read from Genesis 12, if you want to jump there with me. And hopefully technology will play ball on my phone. So Genesis 12, the whole kind of story of it is verse 1 to 9. It's basically about when Abraham was first called by God. He wasn't 20, he wasn't 18, he wasn't 40. And I know people in the Old Testament lived a bit longer than we do now. But Abraham, let's read it. So from verse 1, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you. And whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. That's a pretty huge deal. That is massive. And I'm not saying we're all going to get that type of calling, but this was Abraham. This was huge. Verse 4, so Abraham went, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was, what does it say? He was 75 years old when he set out from Haran, and it continues on right through to verse 9. It talks about where he went. He was 75 when God first called him. Not when he called him again, when he called him the first time. So don't start putting age limits on what God can do, because God will call you when he thinks it's right. Not when we think we're over the hill, or we don't have enough knowledge about something yet, or we think we're too young for something, or we're not good enough for something. It's God's timing. It's not our timing. So amazing. Let's go to the other end of the scale then. Let's go to John 6. Sorry, I'm going to have to take a drink here as well. John chapter 6. And the bulk of the story is from verse 1 through to verse 14. You've really got to squeeze those bottles to get water out, don't you? Woo! Sports cap. No, it's all good. So, sorry, bear with me. John 6, I said, didn't I? Jesus feeds the 5,000. It's one of the most well-known stories. You hear about it in Sunday school when you're a kid, and it's one of those things that, I don't know why, but it's just one of those really popular stories. So, let's read. Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, the Sea of Tiberias, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with the disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. I love it when he does that. There's so many instances where Jesus asks somebody something or tells someone something and he already knows what he's going to do. It's so cool. And I've lost my place. Philip answered him, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." That shows us the scale of how many people were there. When we talk about 5,000, in some of the Gospels it talks about 5,000 men. Never mind whoever else was there, the women and children. So it's a lot of people. A lot of people. Half year's wages. Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. "Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 fish. But how far will they go? Sorry, how far do they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place and they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus then took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. After the people saw the sign Jesus performed, they began to say, "Surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world." So Abraham was 75 years old. And then here's this wee boy with his packed lunch. It's just incredible. Like, it doesn't matter who we are. It doesn't matter how old we are. It's about the act of submission to Jesus, saying, "God, use me." This wee boy is probably the night before, because we do sandwiches the night before, don't we, in our house? You are now. Yeah? The night before, on that morning, whenever he prepared them, or whenever his family helped him prepare them, they didn't have a clue what was going to happen. Get the loaves or take some fish, just in case we need a little snack while we're there. So he's there with his packed lunch. Disciples spot him. "Come with me, son." And Jesus performs the miracle. Doesn't say how old the boy was. Could have been 14, like our Sammy. Could have been 7 or 8. Could have been anything. So please don't start putting things in the... Don't say God's no for him based on how old you think you are or how your feelings about yourself. Because God can use all of us, no matter what age we are. Amen? You know, there's multiple Bible verses that I found recently while I was looking some of this stuff up that talks about making ourselves available for God to use us. There's lots and lots and lots. And most of them, towards the end, please sense my sarcasm here when I say this, most of them, towards the end, say, well, as long as you're under 65, as long as you're over 18, as long as you've got this qualification or that qualification, as long as you've got enough people in your family that are Christians, how long have you been going to church, though? If you haven't been going to church very long, then that doesn't count. Doesn't say any of that rubbish. Doesn't say any of that. It just says, make ourselves available. There is no age restriction on any of it. And that is so amazing. I want to read from... No, I won't. I'll do that last. Sorry. There's a song, a worship song, that I've really had on my heart recently. It's one that on our way up from England, I must have played about 73 times maybe in the car. Yeah, he's sick of it. So Elevation Worship over in the USA, some of you will be familiar with their stuff. They do some fantastic worship songs. And there's one in particular that I just feel God's really speaking to me through. It just gets me every time. It's a song called More Than Able. Some of you will know it, I'm sure. I think the guys are just going to put it on in the background just now. I'm not singing it. But there's a few lines in it that really relate to what we've been kind of looking at this morning. One of the lines is, who am I to deny what the Lord can do? Who are we to deny what God can do? Our circumstances are not going to get in the way of what God wants to do. They might get in the way for us, and that's something that we need to maybe, you know, work through and get prayer for. But you know what? Ultimately, God is going to do what God wants to do. Who am I to deny what the Lord can do? It also goes on later on in the song, because it's quite a long song, but that's okay. There we go. It also says, there's so much more to the story. He's not done with me yet.